From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, January 9th. Coming up, when rural hospitals close, access to critical care is put at risk. We'll learn more about the impact of these closures from Side Effects Public Media. That story coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Paul Faraci will be the next senator in Illinois' 52nd district. Democratic Party leaders from Champaign and Vermilion counties made the announcement on Saturday. Vermilion County Democratic Party Chair Sandra Lawless says Faraci will carry on the legacy of the late Scott Bennett, who died unexpectedly last month.
It was also of the utmost importance to me that we honor Stacey Bennett's preferences on behalf of her husband. I'm confident that Paul Faraci will continue Scott's legacy during Scott's remaining term and go on to forge his own on behalf of both counties in the 52nd Senate District.
In a statement on Wednesday, Stacey Bennett mentioned Faraci as one of four people she and her husband had discussed as a possible successor when Scott retired from politics. Faraci currently serves as the City of Champaign Township Assessor. He's also served on the Champaign City Council and worked in both the Illinois Economic Development and Treasurer's offices. Nikki Budzinski is starting her first term in Congress as a member of the minority party, but the Springfield Democrat says she still hopes to work with Republicans on legislation that helps working people. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
Budzinski represents Illinois' 13th congressional district, which includes Champaign-Urbana, Decatur, Springfield, and a piece of the Metro East St. Louis suburbs. It's a Democratic-friendly district by design, but Budzinski is joining a House of Representatives where Republicans hold the majority.
I do very much believe that there are still places where we can find common ground across party aisle, no matter who's in the minority or who's in the majority. And I'm going to be seeking out those opportunities that are going to help working people in the district.
Despite delays caused by the Republican fight over choosing a speaker, Budzinski says she's opened an office in Springfield and plans to open others in the new 13th district. She's also working with her predecessor, former Congressman Rodney Davis, and taking over cases involving constituents in the district. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Illinois state senators passed a measure yesterday giving themselves a nearly 20% pay raise. This would set their base salary at $85,000. Senate sponsor of the bill, L.G. Sims, says he hopes this pay raise will attract more talent to public service.
It makes sure that we invest in making sure that not everyone who is a millionaire or a billionaire or wealthy can afford to serve, but individuals who want to give back to their communities are able to do that.
Republican State Senator Darren Bailey says that money should go toward pay raises for teachers and other low-wage workers. The pay raise is one section of a larger $850 million budget implementation bill. It now goes to Governor J.B. Pritzker for final approval. The Fighting Illini men's basketball team defeated the Wisconsin Badgers Saturday afternoon, 79-69. Illinois Student Newsroom's Colin Hyslope has more.
With the win, the Illini improved their overall record to 10-5. They also earned their first Big Ten Conference win of the season. Head coach Brad Underwood spoke after the game about the Illini's character.
Character will always win out. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's day to day, do your job. And when you do that, you usually come out on the other side pretty good. And that's all we've tried to get these guys to do.
Guard Terrence Shannon Jr. led the Illini with 24 points in the 10-point win. Next up for Illinois is a road game against the Nebraska Cornhuskers on Tuesday at 8 p.m. I'm Colin Hyslope, Illinois Student Newsroom.
Still to come, a closer look at the consequences of rural hospital closures. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
Have you heard the buzz about the great Danish drama Seaside Hotel? Or maybe a friend has recommended the Italian mystery Thou Shalt Not Kill? Well, you too can stream all of these shows from around the world and many more with PBS's Walter's Choice selections available with Passport. These dramas are presented in their original languages with English subtitles, and they're available to friends of WILL. Learn how you can watch at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. In many rural towns, local hospitals are community fixtures. When they close, the entire community feels the ripple effects, and access to critical health care is put in jeopardy. Side Effects Public Media's Sebastian Martinez Valdivia reports on how this is playing out in one rural Midwest town.
Dr. Michael Quinlan has served Mexico, Missouri, a town of almost 12,000 in the eastern part of the state, for decades. That looked like it might come to an end this past fall, when the hospital his practice was associated with closed suddenly. Quinlan says the closure came as a surprise.
I think we always thought that we were big enough to keep one going.
Quinlan was born and raised in town and says the hospital was vital to the Mexico community. It closed shortly after changing ownership for the second time in 2 years. Kansas City area company Noble Health acquired the hospital in 2021. After increasing internal turmoil at the company, Noble sold the hospital to Texas-based Platinum Team Management, which shuttered the facility in September.
Obviously, poor management can lead to adverse outcomes.
Quinlan says toward the end, staff were working without pay to keep serving the community. Craig Brace is the CEO of the County Health Department. He says the department had to scramble in the wake of the closure, setting up a phone line to answer patient questions.
We had a nurse dedicated to dig in to those questions and find answers and make that available.
But some of those questions didn't have easy answers. One big thing the area lost with the hospital's closure was emergency care. Now, the nearest option for area residents is Columbia, some 40 miles away. Dr. Quinlan says that's left his patients in a difficult situation.
We, you know, hear some mornings that, oh, I had chest pain at 2 a.m. and I just was waiting to see if I could see you guys. Like, no, call for help. You know, we don't want to take a chance on that.
Quinlan says patients have also put off important appointments like cancer screenings, holding out hope that the hospital will reopen. There's no sign of that happening soon, but other providers have moved in. MU Health opened up 2 outpatient clinics in Mexico in the summer, including an urgent care location in August. And Boone Health acquired Dr. Quinlan's clinic in October. Boone Health CEO Troy Greer says the move benefited his health system as well as the community.
So we said if we went and found these doctors that wanted to stay in the area, it was good for that local community. It allows Boone to continue to grow in those areas to serve their needs, but also create a more convenient place for those people to use Boone services.
But Greer says stepping in to run the hospital isn't something Boone or any other institution is in a position to do. Rural hospitals face an uphill battle driven by declining populations and lower reimbursement for care. More than 130 rural hospitals have closed in the U.S. since 2005, including dozens in the Midwest. The closure of the hospital in Mexico marked Missouri's 10th rural hospital closure in less than a decade. When it comes to replacing emergency services, one option that has emerged in other states is the freestanding ER. These are emergency rooms that aren't affiliated with a hospital and can often offer quicker care at a higher cost. Dr. Cedric Dark is an assistant professor of emergency medicine at the Baylor College of Medicine in Houston.
I feel like you at least ought to be able to keep the ER open as a freestanding ER because people in those communities still need access to emergency care.
He says the costs associated with freestanding ERs lead them to locate in urban and suburban rather than rural areas. Plus, regulations in several states, including Missouri, effectively ban freestanding ERs. That means communities like Mexico have to find other ways to keep their hospitals open, whether that be through private equity firms or individual investors. Quinlan says the recently enacted federal rural emergency hospital designation is a consideration. That would allow the hospital to reopen its emergency department and provide outpatient care. There are also plans drawn up to open a micro hospital offering emergency services and some inpatient care if Audrain Community doesn't reopen. I'm Sebastian Martinez Valdivia, Side Effects Public Media.
This story comes from a collaboration between KBIA, Side Effects Public Media, and the Midwest Newsroom. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have patchy fog this morning, otherwise partly cloudy skies with a high of 42 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Mama Iqbal, Jim Meadows, Colin Highslope, and Sebastian Martinez Valdivia. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.